Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The word of the Lord for this evening from the Psalm, Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, at your altars, O Lord of hosts. My King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it in pools. They go forth from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with our hymn. Hear the word of the Lord from 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. Now the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "See, the place where he dwell under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, and each of us get there a log, and let us make a place for us to dwell there." And he answered, "Go." Then one of them said, "Be pleased to go with your servant." And he answered, "I will go." So when he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as soon as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water. And he cried out, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." Then the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and he threw it in there. And it made the iron float. And he said, "Take it up." So he reached out his hand and took it. Once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, "At such and such a place shall be my camp." But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there." And the king of Israel sent to that place about which the man of God told him. Thus he used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not now show me who of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." And he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him." And he told him, "Behold, he is in Dothan." So he sent there horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He said, "Don't be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open the eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Please strike these people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. And he led them to Samaria. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha said, O Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. So the Lord opened the eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And soon, as the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, My father, shall I strike them down? Shall I strike them down? He answered, You shall not strike them down. Would you strike down those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. So he prepared for them a great feast. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master, and the Syrians did not come again on raids into the land of Israel. In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you again for the gifts that you have given to us. Your promise to take the burden of our sin away from us and to protect us always by your holy angels pointing us to your promises. Bless us now in the preaching of your word, in Jesus' name, amen. That first story in the Old Testament reading for today is one of my favorites. It's one that just doesn't seem to fit anywhere, and yet it's got this great, great story in it. Elisha and the prophets are there, and they're growing in number. God is causing more prophets to be there in this kind of epicenter of this prophetic activity, and the house is too small. They're tired of being stacked upon each other, so they say, let's build a bigger house. And Elisha says, sure, and they go down, and they begin to cut the trees. And as one is cutting a tree, the axe head off of his handle flies off into the water, and it sinks, like it should. And as it does that, the man is nervous, the man is worried, because this was a borrowed axe. Now, an axe in Elisha's time, an iron axe head, was a very valuable tool. Think about parking your car and coming out and your car is gone. Now you get the idea of what that axe head might be worth. Elisha sees the man and he sees the grief that this has caused the man, and in order to try and rescue him from his grief and his debt, he takes a stick, breaks it off, asks the man where it was in the water, he throws the stick in the water, and the axe head floats. Now, the only thing out of iron that I know that floats are battleships, and this was not one. But the power of God in the water caused this axe head to float, and they were able to retrieve it, and the man was relieved of his debt and his worry. So much similar to the cross. We see the wood of the cross that our Savior cast upon us, cast down for us, so that the weight of our sins might be removed from us by his hand, by his death, by his resurrection. Elisha showing once again that God works through his prophets to preach and teach and point them to the hope and promise that they had and that we have in Christ our Lord. A great story just kind of dropped right there for us to see once again God working to give comfort and to give compassion for his people. But the second story is even better. The story of Syria and Israel, or Samaria and Israel, and they're warring against each other, and the king of Samaria, he's getting ready to fight Israel. He's making plans, and as he makes plans, Elisha already knows. No spy in the camp. That's what the king of Samaria thinks. There's a spy here, and that's how Israel knows. This is Elisha, the prophet, doing these things. Elisha hears. Elisha goes on. The young man that's with Elisha sees when he wakes up in the morning all of the enemies surrounded them, horses and chariots surrounding them, waiting to take them captive or to kill them. And he's worried. His enemies all around him. And Elisha prays, and the young man's eyes are opened. And he sees the horses, and he sees the chariots. but not the chariots and horses of the enemy. The horses and the chariots, a fire of God's holy army protecting Israel as they are right here from their enemies. He was given a glimpse into things that we wish we could see. Don't you wish you could see that sometimes? When you're fearing, when you're afraid, when you're alone, when everything seems to be going wrong, wouldn't you like to be able to just look around and see the whole company of heaven that surrounds you and protects you and points you back to the promises of Christ? Wouldn't that be comforting? It would. But God doesn't choose to do that for us very often. He did it here for this man so that he might be comforted. He did it for them so that we might be comforted. That in the midst of this, that young man was able to see the host of the heavenly angels protecting them there from their enemies. And that same promise is for us. God sends his holy army, his holy angels, to watch over you, to protect you, to guide you, to hold your enemies away. You might never see it, but we know that God does that. The warning for us is that if we could see it, we would probably worship the angels. If you remember in the book of Revelation, St. John is there, and the angel comes down and speaks to John, and John is so overwhelmed by seeing this angel, he does what we more than likely would do. He falls down, and he begins to worship the angel, and the angel says, no, don't do it. Worship God only. Part of our humanness, if we see something so grand like this young man saw, we would be tempted to do the same. But God reserves that holy army to protect us, and he reserves their invisibility, if you will, to protect us also, so that we would not fall into worshiping the angels and not the one who promises to protect us. It's an amazing story of how God continues to send his angels around and protect his people. It's a very similar thing to what we sing when we gather around this semicircle altar rail. And we gather here for Holy Communion and we sing, angels and archangels and all the company of heaven in the proper preface. And what we are confronted with is somewhat what this young man saw. That all of the company of heaven gathers with us when we gather here. Our loved ones, fathers and mothers and children that have gone to be with our Lord are gathered around us on the other half of this circle, here in time, there in eternity, worshiping the Lamb at the center of the throne as we receive his body and blood there. They stand in front of the risen, or kneel in front of the risen Savior in heaven. What a great thing, and that he is right here for us. In the same way that this young man was able to see the heavenly host, so we give thanks that even though we can't see it, we know that God's saints worship with us. We know that he continues to protect us. I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, Jesus said. And that means not only is he with us, but his holy angels protect us. Luther picks that up in both the morning and the evening prayer, by the way, if you like to pray those. Send your holy angels to watch over me. And he does. We are never alone. Even at the hour of our death, never alone. The Spirit of your God continues to watch over you. His holy angels continue to protect and to fight the evil army that would like to pull us away. But remember, God's word, God's promises are far greater than even the gates of hell. And they cannot hold out his holy angels or his holy promises to you. Great stories hidden in the books of the Old Testament that we hardly ever hear. But in the midst of every one of them is Jesus and his promises for you. And his love and his mercy and his forgiveness, his death and his resurrection for you. So that you, as we would do when we see the angels, we would fear. But our Lord tells us, fear not, for I am with you always. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace that passes all our understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.